ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
But they don't check this out. And I've heard people say things, I'm like, man, that's not even in the Bible. And of course it isn't, because this is a storyline, and you got to make a story out of it, okay? Because otherwise it would be one season and we're done. But we're, you know, continuing on. And also understand that the executive producer is a Mormon. So his whole picture of who Jesus is different than ours. And the thing that really irks me is that when Jesus quoted out of the Quran, which wasn't written, or Book of Mormon, excuse me, not the Quran, Book of Mormon. Both are bad. Book of Mormon. And the justification for it was Jesus might have said it. Well, if that's the line of reasoning, he could have said anything, right? How do we know what he said? This is how we know what he said. It's right here. We don't add to it. We don't take away from it. So be careful. Because Christians are getting doctrine, theology, from these shows. One writer, science fiction writer, Christina Englia, said, different people think of different versions of God, a loving father or a fearful, punishing ghoul. These are incompatible, irreconcilable. And you thought having one world religion or one God would unite humanity. Gandhi said, I hold that it is the duty of every man or woman to read sympathetically the scriptures of the world. If we are to respect others' religions as we would have them to respect our own, a friendly study of the world's religions is a sacred duty. That is very dangerous, guys. Okay? Now that's part of the global church, the one world religion. But there's one person that's left out of this one world religion. You know who that is? The Jesus of the Bible. I'm not saying Jesus isn't part of the one world religion, but not the Jesus of the Bible. There's a lot of different Jesuses out there, and that's what they do. They water down who Jesus is. He never said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me, because that's very narrow-minded. There's only one way, and it's through Jesus. So he has to be removed. Way back in 1981, United Nations wrote this paper, and title is Declaration on the Elimination of All Forms of Intolerance and of Discrimination Based on Religion or Belief. This is back in 1981. Article 1, everyone shall have the right to freedom of thought, conscience, and religion. This right shall include freedom to have a religion or whatever belief of his choice, and freedom either individually or in community with others and in a public or private to manifest his religion or belief in worship, observance, practice, and teaching. That sounds great. Everyone gets to worship, right? Yeah, it doesn't end there. No one shall be subject to coercion which would impair his freedom to have a religion or belief of his choice. What is that saying? No more witnessing. No more sharing your faith. You believe whatever you want, but don't tell anyone else about it. That's what they're saying. It continues on. Freedom to manifest one's religion or belief may be subject only to such limitations as are prescribed by law and are necessary to protect public safety, order, health, or morals, or the fundamental rights and freedoms of others. Okay, now we are going to tell you as the government how to worship God. Why did we come to America in the first place? For the freedom to worship Jesus Christ without the government telling us how. And now we're going back to the government telling us how to worship. And that's where we're headed, this one world religion. And I'll spend a little time here just sharing what Jesus said in Matthew 24. He's sharing with his men about the end times, the last days, what they're going to be like, the tribulation period. And again, this isn't for us, But I think what we're seeing happening in the world today, and I've called this the pre-labor pains or the Braxton Hicks contractions, the things that are happening in a woman's life right before she's getting ready to give birth. Her body is preparing for what's coming. And I think that's what we're seeing today, these Braxton Hicks contractions. And this is what Jesus said in Matthew 24, verses 4 through 8. Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. So that means the beginning of sorrows is basically the beginning of birth pains. And Jesus starts out with a warning about what? About deception. Related to religious practices, wars, famines, pestilence, earthquakes. These things will happen, but be careful where they're going to lead you to. You know, many Christians are so, it's all the time they spend focused on instead of being in the Word of God. And, you know, we're seeing wars being spoken of. Maybe this, you know, outcome with Hamas and maybe even Hezbollah, what they're trying to do, that are nothing more than puppets for Iran, will bring a time of peace for Israel in the Middle East. I don't know. But it's out of that time of peace that this war with these nations coming down upon Israel is going to happen. Many will come also. In my name, Jesus said, saying, I am the Christ and will deceive many. And there's always been those who have called themselves Jesus Christ. There's always been those people that have done that and will continue to do that. But the word many is polos in the Greek, and it speaks of a very great number, like millions and millions and millions. Isn't that interesting? The New Age. What is the big thing with the New Age? We're gods. What's the big thing with the health, wealth, and prosperity teachers? We're little gods. You see, that's the push. If you're God, then you could decide for yourself what's right and what's wrong. There's the danger. There's only one God. And he's given us his word to follow, to obey, to listen to. And I think this is a picture of what's happening with the first seal. In Revelation 6, the opening of it. I saw the Lamb, when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. Here's a man who is the Antichrist, who will come on the scene, eventually go into the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem, demand to be worshipped as God, and there's a huge deception. People will worship him as God. He has an assassination attempt on his life. Right side, his eyes paralyzed. His arms, or his eye can't see. His right arm is paralyzed. He comes back from the dead, supposedly. I don't believe he actually dies, but that's what they say. And he's going to cause all kinds of wars. And interestingly enough, the word will in the Greek is melo. And it carries with it the ideal of continual hearing. Constant talk of actual wars, rumors of wars, more than we've ever had before. And look at, with social media today, we hear of these things constantly. We also hear of Russia, you know, invading the Ukraine, China trying to take control of Hong Kong, China threatening Taiwan. Wars and rumors of wars, right? We hear it. All that's going on in the Middle East. And again, this is the second seal. You know, come and see, another horse, fiery red, went out and was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth and that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. I think that's speaking of what we read in Matthew 24, verse 6 and through 7a. In verse 7 of Matthew 24, it also speaks of famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. You know, famines, wow. You know, in 2023, global food crisis continues on. 48 countries, 238 million people are facing high levels of acute food insecurity, about 10% more than in 2022. Over 18 million people will die of hunger in 2023. And even in our own country, we have these problems. But if there was a major world war, What if there was some ecological disaster? The famines would may even increase even more. In fact, in Revelation 6, verses 5 through 6, the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine." So the high cost of just buying the basic necessities for life. You know, you go out for breakfast today, what does it cost you? $30, $40 for breakfast? Is that crazy? You know, I went shopping and, you know, it's just Julie and I. Yeah, we have a couple fish, but, you know, they don't eat a whole lot. And I spent like it was $150. And I didn't even get toilet paper, which I was very disappointed. That's a big necessity. That it's going to get so bad. And I think we're seeing that. You know, prices haven't come down since COVID, have they? Prices for food remains very high. You think they would come down by now. Also, we have pestilence. Don't have to say a lot about that. You know, you got AIDS, Ebola, and it's going to get worse. You know, we've seen COVID. 7 million people died from that, over 7 million. And granted, COVID today, the variant is not very bad like the Delta variant was. But this was a deliberate attack on the people of this world, spread from China. But here's something that's even more, I don't want to say scary, but it's just disheartening when you hear about this. We're told that artificial intelligence and its cutting-edge abilities have been applied to early disease detection and gaining insight into chemical compound reactions. But with this capability to contribute to healthcare, also comes great risk when used for nefarious purposes. An existing AI tool identified 40,000 bioweapon chemicals possibilities in the span of 6 hours. In an experiment, the AI system Megasyn was trained to detect toxicity molecules, retain them, and create molecule combinations, the exact opposite of what it is intended to perform. Unlike at the start of bioweapons programs, machine learning has progressed far enough that current AI capabilities are capable to allow bad actors to flip the switch and go from being a helpful tool of medicine to being a generator of weapons. Wow. So it's only going to get worse. I know this is a big uplifting one. You know, earthquakes in various places. Yeah, we see that. When we look at these maps, recent earthquake and volcanic eruptions, ring of fire, I guess, you know. And, you know, look at Iceland. I mean, I would love to go see that volcanic eruption in Iceland. Not going to do it, but it'd be really cool. And people are, you know, had to leave the area, the people who are living in that area. But it's interesting because why are these earthquakes and all these things happening? Well, the World Economic Forum tells us the reason. Now, hear me out. These are people that are telling us why earthquakes and volcanoes have increased. Climate change could cause more earthquakes and volcanic eruptions by increasing the weight of water on the Earth's crust. Are you really kidding me here? When glaciers melt, the water can seep into cracks in the Earth's crust, causing them to widen and weaken. This can lead to earthquakes, especially in areas that are already seismically active. Climate change can also cause more volcanic eruptions by increasing the amount of magma in the Earth's mantle. I don't even know how to answer that. I can't. It's just crazy. This whole climate change thing is becoming religious. I'll just share with you something from 2019. Thunberg said this, entire ecosystems are collapsing. If you really understand the situation and still keep on failing to act, then you would be evil. And how are these people getting to these climate change meetings? And they're jets, private jets, lined up one after another, and they're talking about climate change. And you know what? We're always going to die, right? Will they be right? Yeah, because we're always going to die. That's just the reality. But it's not climate change that's going to kill us. Here's something. 2019, students at the Union Theological Seminary in New York City, confessed their sins To who? Oh, no, not to Jesus. I know that's where you're thinking. No. I don't have the picture. Oh, there it is. They're confessing their sins to the plants. I don't even get, these are a theological school. Have we lost our minds? Yeah, I guess we have. In fact, this is what it said today in the chapel. There we go. Today in the chapel, we confessed to plants. Together we held our grief, joy, regret, hope, guilt, and sorrow in prayer, offering them to the beings who sustained us, but whose gift we too often fail to honor. Oh, thank God for the plants who created us. Oh, my gosh. You don't even know what to say anymore. But they also want smaller families. How do we get to this smaller family? Abortion. That's how we do it. Abortion is the way we do this. No nation desirous of reducing its growth rate to 1% or less can expect to do so without the widespread use of abortion. So now you know why abortion is so important. We got to get the population down. I don't know, man. Has anyone driven through South Dakota? Because there's a lot of land there. I mean, I do not see it filled with people. Montana. No. There's a lot of land. The earth can sustain us. I truly believe during the time of the flood, there were probably 5 to 7 billion people on the earth, pretty much like we have today. And so we see this again in the sixth or the fourth seal, the pale horse, death, Hades followed him. You know, these are all the beginnings of sorrows. And what I mean by that, it's the first part of this, or the 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation period, these pre-labor pains. And make no mistake about it, we talk about a one-world religion, there's also a one-world government coming into play. 30 years ago, or 30-plus years ago, when I taught on this, people laughed at me. People thought it crazy, one-world government. Now they're embracing it. You hear the Pope talk about it all the time. We need a global government. How are we going to stop COVID without a global government? Well, we pretty much did, but without a global government. But way back on September 7th, 1973, the Club of Rome, and many of you are aware of this, released this report, and it divided the world in 10 political economic regions, and they called them kingdoms, which I find fascinating because this is the free trade agreements that we made pretty much. It's fascinating how this all plays out and how over time this is being worked into play. But this is where we're headed to, a one-world government. The Antichrist will be the head over it. We won't be here for it, but we may see the start of the world government. It's very possible. David Rockefeller said, "This present window of opportunity, during which a truly peaceful and interdependent world order might be built, will not be open for too long. We are on the verge of a global transformation. All we need is the right major crisis, and the nations will accept the new world order." That's what we're looking at, guys. A world crisis. COVID trying to get us in that direction. Didn't really work because people rebelled against it after a while. But we're getting closer and closer to a crisis that will bring about a new world order. Brock Chrislam, "To achieve world government, it's necessary to remove from the minds of men their individualism, loyalty to family traditions, national patriotism, and religious dogmas." You know what? It's a Christian faith. They want all that taken away. Why do you think they hate Donald Trump so much? Because he's a patriot, and he doesn't fit with the New World Order. And I'm not saying he's a perfect guy, not at all. What I'm saying is he's a patriot, and that's why they hate him. And that's why they don't want him reelected. And to get rid of our religious dogmas, what are they talking about? The things that go against what they want to believe, want us to believe. They tried to really destroy the church with COVID. And it happened with a lot of people. People were on one side or the other side, and the clashes. And my feeling was, do whatever you want. I don't really care. You're an adult. Make your decisions. Show me in the Bible COVID. You can't. So do what you want. And so I had both sides mad at me, which was fine, because that means I was right where I needed to be, I guess. I like H.U. Wells. He said, "It is the system of nationalist individualism that has to go. We are living in the end of the sovereign states, in the great struggle to evoke a westernized world socialism. Contemporary governments may vanish. Countless people will hate the new world order and will die protesting against it." That was H.G. Wells. George H.W. Bush, "We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order. A world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations," oh my God, I just cringe at that, "United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders." Yeah, she wants a peacekeeping force or the United Nations hired this woman who is pro-Palestinian, hates the Jews, very vocal about it, to oversee the peacekeeping in Gaza. Are you kidding? I want the United Nations. No, I don't. Strob Talbot, "Within the next 100 years, nationhood as we know it will be obsolete. All states will recognize a single global authority. National sovereignty wasn't such a great idea after all." Are you kidding me? It was a great idea. Henry Kissinger, "I think that Obama's task will be to develop an overall strategy for America in this period when really a new world order can be created." Why do you think he was in office? This reason. New world order. Giving away our sovereignty. And we are. Slowly. But it goes against our Constitution. Yeah, who reads that anymore? Right? That's the problem. Let me share this with you, and I'll be wrapping this up real quick, I promise you. This is from Isaiah, and this is so important. Isaiah 44, "Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. And who can proclaim as I do? Then let him declare it and set it in order for me. Since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show these to them. Do not fear nor be afraid. Have I not told you from that time and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? Indeed, there is no other rock. I know not one." Only God knows the beginning from the end. And he's told us these things. No one else can. And he's warned us of what's coming. And for what reason? Why did he warn us? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. We know what's going to happen. We know he's in control. The Lord's coming back. What are we to do? We're to be witnesses. Witnesses to the lost that there is no God but our God. And the only peace you'll find is when you place your feet upon the rock, Jesus Christ. It's the gospel message, guys. And if you don't know Jesus, then you're here or listening to this message because God's brought you here. And you have to make that decision. Do you want to live in rebellion against God? Or are you going to call out to him and receive that saving faith and enter into eternity one day with him? And I know it's tough times, but when you're anxious, go back to the scriptures. Don't go back to the world. Paul said, "Be anxious for what? Nothing. But in everything with prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God which surpasses all understandings will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." How do we accomplish that? Not CNN, not this newscast, not that one, not this website, not that one. You know how we do it? Paul tells us. He says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." Get your mind focused back on the Lord, and that fear will be replaced with his peace. Right? So Revelation 19:7 says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready." We've made herself ready in the blood of Jesus Christ by receiving him as Lord and Savior. Let's be excited about the days we're living in. Let's stay focused upon the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we do thank you so much that you've given us a peek of what's coming. And really what's happening in our day, so we don't have to be fearful, so we can rest in you. And we could share our faith, because there will be those that are going to be fearful who don't know you, and we can share the love of God to them. Father, help us. Give us a boldness in this coming year like we've never had before to share our faith. Bless the people here, those listening on the radio, the internet. Fill them with your Spirit. Empower them, Lord, to carry on the work until you come. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.